بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our session number four. Okay, we're reading from the Sharh Kitabi Durus Al-Lughat Al-Arabiyyati Lighayr Al-Natiqin Biha Al-Juz Al-Awwal تعريف دكتور فاعل عبد الرحيم شرح حسين ابن احمد ابن عبد الله علي علي. So today inshallah we're going to be taking our fourth session in which we're going to be doing lesson number 7 and lesson number 8, and we're reading the sharh or the explanation of كتاب الدروس اللغة العربية لغير الناطقين بها, يعني the lessons in Arabic language for those who are non-Arabic speakers. The first volume, authored by Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, and the explanation is written by Al-Ustadh Hussein Ibn Ahmed Ibn Abdullah Ali Ali. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. He was a teacher at the Institute for the Study of Arabic Language, Islamic University of Medina, along with the author himself, who was the founder of that program. So today, as I mentioned, we're going to be taking the next two lessons, that is lesson 7 and lesson 8. But before we look at lesson 7 and lesson 8, we want to go back for a quick review of what we covered in the previous two lessons, that is Ad-Dars Al-Khamisu and Ad-Dars Al-Sadisu. So, just briefly, yani the main points that we covered in the previous two lessons. In lesson number 5, which is on page 9, the main thing that we covered was al-idafa, yani the construct phrase, which consists of two parts, al-mudafu and al-mudafu ilayhi. We also looked at nouns that begin with hamzat al-wasl, yani nouns that begin with a letter that has sukoon, and as a result of that, hamzatul wasl is prefixed to the beginning of it, and the rules concerning that. And we looked at two words specifically, yani ibnun and ismun. The next thing that we looked at of importance was al-munada, yani the particle of harf al-nida, the vocative particle, when you're calling out to somebody and the one who is being called out, al-munada. We looked at the rules concerning that. And we also looked at the word men, which requires an explanation of certain words in the Arabic language which are indeclinable, meaning their endings are fixed. In Arabic, we call that mabniyun. So the ending doesn't change, even if it's in the position where it should be, marfu'un, or mansubun, or majrurun. So that's basically what we looked at last week. So let us just explain quickly what those things entail. The first thing, al-idafa, it means when two words are brought together to make a new construction, it's called al-idafa, the construct phrase. For example, two words like kitabun and muhammadun, a book is the first word and the second word is Muhammad. When we put them together to make this new construction, to show a relationship between them, then we have Kitabu Muhammadin. Kitabu Muhammadin. Yani Muhammad's book, or literally the book of Muhammad. So the first part of this construct phrase, Kitabu, is called the Mudaf. And the second part is called, yani Muhammadin is called the Mudafun Ilayhi. And there's a relation between them. In this case, it's the possessed and the possessor. The book is possessed and Muhammad is the possessor of it. In any case, there are different types of relationships for idafa construction. What is important is the rules related to them. The first part, the mudaf, loses its tanween. So it has a single vowel. Its vowel could be dhamma, kasra, or fatha. It depends on its position in the sentence. The second part, the mudafun ilayhi, it becomes majroor, and therefore it must take kasra, either a single kasra or a double kasra. So the first part, its vowel can be kasra, fatha, or dhamma. It depends on its position in the sentence, but it has to be a single vowel. It doesn't take alif lam or tanween. The second part of the idafa construction is always majroor, and the primary sign of a noun being majroor is kasra. It can be a single kasra if it has alif lam, or it can be a double kasra if it does not have alif lam. And then they give us many examples of that. The second thing are nouns that begin with sukoon, and therefore hamzatul wasl is added to them. And we said that hamzatul wasl is the hamza where a vowel is used in order to prevent a word from beginning with sukoon. Subhanallah. In order to prevent the word from beginning with sukoon. Allahumma sta'an. So, what happens is the hamzatul wasl is added to the beginning of a word and a vowel is attached to it, either kasra as it in this case, or it could be dhamma or fatha, and then that vowel is only pronounced when you begin with that word. But if there is something before that word, another word or a particle, then the vowel of hamzatul wasl is not pronounced. So for example, the first example they gave us is ma ismu ar-rajuli, pronounced masmu ar-rajuli, masmu ar-rajuli. So here we see that the kasra of the word ism is not pronounced because there's something before it. Whereas in the answer, ibnu man anta, we see that the kasra is pronounced because we begin with it. The next point that we dealt with was al-munada, yani the harf al-nida, ya al-nida, the vocative particle which is used to call out to somebody, and the word that follows it, the munada, the one being called. They said here that al-munada, under the word al-munada, it says al-munada huwa bima'na an taqula li sadiqika ta'ala. Yani, the meaning of munada, it is as though you are saying to your friend, to your, yani, companion, you are saying to them, ta'al, yani, come, come on, let's go. What is important here is that the ya nida, the vocative ya, the particle, yani, for calling out to get someone's attention, the word that follows it, known as the munada, is going to take a single dhamma. We say that it is mabniyun ala dhamma. So even if that word originally had tanween, such as Muhammadun, or Ustadhun, or Waladun, or Bintun, after Ya and Nida, it loses its tanween, and it is mabniyun, fixed on a single dhamma. So it is incorrect to have tanween on the munada, the word following Ya and Nida. And likewise, it is also, yani, incorrect to have, yani, alif lam on the munada. If it has alif lam, then there are special rules for that, which we'll look at later on. So what is important here is the noun that has tanween, after ya and nida, loses its tanween and it takes a single dhamma. The last point that we mentioned in this lesson is words like the word men, meem, fatha, noon with sukoon. These words are fixed. Their ending is fixed. It doesn't change from dhamma to kasra if it's following a preposition, or to fatha if it's the object of a verb. Rather, its ending remains unchanged. Whether it's sukoon or kasra or fatha or dhamma, it remains with one ending and it doesn't change because of anything acting upon it. They say in English it is indeclinable. In Arabic we say it is mabaniyun. That's the opposite of mu'rabun. Mu'rabun means the ending of the word changes because of its function in the sentence, from dhamma to kasra to fatha and so on. So, as far as the i'rab of this word men, in this case, as they have here in the first example, kitabu men hadha. Whose book is this? Yani, kitabu men is a construct phrase. So, kitabu is the mudaf, and men is the mudafun ilayhi, which should be majroor, but because it's mabniyun, we say it is mabniyun fi mahalli jar. Fi mahalli jar. Yani, in the place where it should be jar, majroor, genitive case. Alright, so there are certain words in Arabic language that are mabniyun. The ending doesn't change. In the i'rab of it, we say it's in the place where it should be majroor, or in the place where it should be mansub, or in the place where it should be marfu'un. This is what we covered in the first lesson. And in the second lesson from last week, lesson number 6, we dealt with, first and foremost, the ism ishara hadihi, And we said that hadhihi, what you need to know, yani memorize if possible, is that it is ismu isharatin, a noun that's used for pointing. In English they call it the demonstrative pronoun. Just like hadha. Hadhihi ismu isharatin. It's used for lil mufradi, singular, al muannathi, feminine, al qaribi, that which is near, al aqili wa ghayr al aqili. For the aqil and the ghayr aqil, the rational and the irrational, the intelligent and non-intelligent being. Alright, so again, hadhihi is an ism ishara that's used for the mufrad, not for dual or plural. It's used for mu'annath, feminine, not masculine. And it's used for that which is qareeb, near, not that which is ba'id, far. It's used for both aqil, human beings, as well as ghayr aqil, yani non-human beings. Then they gave us examples for both of them. And the next point, yani, is in the examples for hadhihi. They have hadhihi anfun wa hadhihi famun. And here, the point that we want to note is that hadhihi anfun is incorrect, and hadhihi famun is incorrect, and that's because anf and fem are masculine nouns, and hadhihi is used for feminine nouns. So what is correct is to say hadha anfun and hadha famun. This is a nose and this is a mouth, because anfun and famun are both masculine, and hadha is the ism ishara, yani lil mufrad, lil mudhakkar, yani and lil qareeb. Also we want to note here that parts of the body that are in pairs, two of them, like two hands, two feet, two eyes, in Arabic are feminine. So even though anf and fem, neither of them have a sign of femininity, we know they're feminine because they're parts of the body that are in pairs. In this lesson we also looked at, although it's not mentioned here, we also looked at the fact that, generally speaking, nouns and adjectives are made feminine by adding ta marbuta to the end of the word, the tanween being removed, and the last vowel before ta marbuta is going to be always fatha. We also said that certain nouns in Arabic have a separate form for the feminine that's not made by adding ta marbuta. Like akhun, its feminine form is ukhtun. Yani it's not formulated by adding ta marbuta. So generally, all nouns in Arabic are either masculine or feminine. Generally, feminine nouns have tarmabuta. There are some which do not have tarmabuta, and they have to be learned. Also in this lesson, we had the preposition li, and we're going to look at, and we looked at prepositions in lesson 4. So the same rule is applicable. That is, the noun following the preposition is ism majrur, yani the noun that becomes majrur because of the preposition, just like we had in lesson 4, fi wa ala wa ila wa min. So li means possession, it means this is for or belonging to. So this is what we covered in lessons 5 and 6 last week. Okay, let's go to the new lessons for today, beginning with lesson 7, and then following that with lesson 8. Okay, so let's turn to page 11. Page 11 of the sharh. At the top of the page it says, Ad-Darsu As-Sabi'u. Ad-Darsu As-Sabi'u. This word is centered around the word Tilka. And this is a follow-up of the previous lesson, 6, where we dealt with Hadhihi. So what is it that we need to know about Tilka? Tilka ismu isharatin lil mufradi al muannathi al ba'idi al aqili wa ghayr al aqili. Ism ishara, demonstrative pronoun, the noun that's used for pointing, ishara. Lil mufradi, yani pointing to that which is singular, not dual or plural, not muthanna or jam. And pointing to that which is muannathi, feminine, not mudhakkar, masculine. And pointing to that which is ba'id, that which is far, not that which is qareeb or near. And it's also used both for the aqil as well as the ghayr aqil, yani that which is rational or irrational, intelligent or non-intelligent. So, before we look at the examples, we want to note Tilka, in comparison to hadihi, is similar in that both of them are ism ishara. And both of them are used for al-mufrad, that which is singular. And both of them are used for al-mu'annath, that which is feminine. The difference between them is that tilka is used for the ba'id, that which is far, and hadihi is used for that which is near, yani qareeb. Okay, so the difference between hadihi and tilka is hadihi is used for that which is near, and tilka is used for that which is far, al-ba'id. Both of them are used for aql and ghayr aql. So the only difference between them is that one is used for that which is near, that's hadihi, and this one is used for that which is far, yani tilka. As far as examples which show that it can be used for the aql and the ghayr aql, we see under aql on the right hand column, tilka sumayyatu. Yani that, pointing to a female, tilka sumayyatu. That is sumayya. That's a female's name, a proper noun. Feminine proper nouns are mamnu min as-sarf. Yani they're diptos. They don't take tanween. Tilka sumayyatu. That is sumayya. The next example, tilka tabibatun. That is a female doctor. Notice that the word tabibatun, yani, has been modified from the word tabibun by simply removing the tanween and adding ta marbuta preceded by fatha. Tabibun became tabibatun, yani the feminine of tabib, tabiba, female doctor. Tilka tabibatun. That is a female doctor. The third example, tilka tawilatun. That one is tall. That is a tall one. Tawila. And again, tawilatun has been modified from the masculine form tawilun, yani the lamb having tanween. The tanween is removed. Ta marbuta is attached to it, suffix to it, and the ta marbuta is always preceded by fatha. So tawilun became tawilatun. That is a tall one. So all of these, sumayya, that's a female, tabiba, female doctor, and tawila, a tall female person, all of these are for the aql. Examples of ghayra aql, tilka battatun, with ta and shadda. Tilka battatun, that is a duck. Tilka baydatun, baydatun, that is an egg. And tilka naqatun, naqatun, with qaf, ending with ta marbuta, each one of them. Tilka naqatun, that is the, is a she camel. So here we see that tilka, the same way it's used to refer to a female, sumayya, or a female doctor, tabiba, or a female, that a tall one, tawila, also it can be used to refer to ghayra aql, yani non-human beings, animals and inanimate things. Batta is a duck, bayda is an egg, and naqa is a she camel. So these are examples of how the word tilka used to point to something which is far. Okay, something that is singular, feminine, and far. Akil or ghayra akil, these are examples of how it's used. Now after this, there's a chart of the asma al-isharati lil-qareebi on the right, and beside it, asma'u al-isharati lil-ba'idi. Yani, the nouns that are used for pointing for things which are near, and the nouns which are used for pointing to things which are far. So under each of these columns, asma al-ishara lil-qareeb, we have both masculine and feminine, al-mudhakkaru and al-mu'annathu. And likewise for the second column, asma'u al-isharati lil-ba'id, we see that there is an upper column that's for al-mudhakkar, and there's a lower column that is for al-mu'annath, masculine and feminine. So let's read this chart going across. Under asma al-ishara lil-qareeb, for things which are near, al-mudhakkar, if it is masculine, we say, hadha husaynun. This is Husayn. Or hadha qamisun. This is a shirt. Yani Husayn for aql is an example of aql, and qamis is an example of ghayru aql. Under the same column, lil-qareeb, we have al-mu'annath, hadhihi ruqayyatu. This is ruqayya, that's a female proper noun. Ruqayyatu. And the next one, هذه حديقة. This is a garden or a park. So رقية is the example of هذه, يعني being used for that which is feminine, عاقل, and هذه حديقة, that which is feminine, غير عاقل. Now we go across to the next column, أسماء الإشارة لل بعيد, and we also have two columns, the upper column for the مذكر, ذلك مؤذن, ذلك مؤذن, that is a مؤذن, يعني the one who calls at the announcement, for the announcement of the time of the beginning of prayer. ذلك حجر, that is a stone, like a rock, a stone, حجر. And here again, مؤذن is an example for عاقل, things which are far, and حجر is an example for غير عاقل, for things which are far, both of them being for masculine. Now for the feminine, things which are far. First, feminine, تلك ممرضة, that is a female nurse. تلك دجاجة, that is a hen or a chicken. So again, ممرضة is an example for عاقل, and دجاجة is an example for غير عاقل. So these are, يعني, two examples each for the use of the اسم إشارة هذه for things which are masculine, عاقل and غير عاقل, near. And ذلك, يعني for things which are far. يعني عاقل and غير عاقل, things which are, يعني far. عاقل and غير عاقل. And then we have likewise examples for things which are near, feminine, هذه, example for عاقل, رقية, for غير عاقل, حديقة, and things which are far, تلك ممرضة, for that which is عاقل, and دجاجة, for that which is غير عاقل. So this is a chart showing us the أسماء الإشارة, the demonstrative pronouns for things which are قريب, near, and things which are بعيد, far, all of them being singular. Half of them are مذكر, masculine, and half of them are مؤنث, feminine. So we're seeing things which are قريب, near, and things which are بعيد, far, that which is masculine, مذكر, and that which is feminine, مؤنث, all of them though are singular. Okay, so all of these أسماء الإشارة so far that we have taken in lesson 1 and 2 and 6 and 7, they are all اسم إشارة, all of them are demonstrative pronouns, all of them are for للمفرد, singular, some of them are مؤنث, and some of them are مذكر, masculine or feminine, some of them are بعيد for far, and some of them are for near, قريب, all of them are for عاقل and غير عاقل. So this is the chart for the أسماء الإشارة, قريب and بعيد, مذكر and مؤنث. And so far we haven't seen yet, يعني the duals or the plurals, okay? So we'll see the plurals later on, and we'll see the duals in the future. After that. Okay, let's look at the next point that we want to look at here, is underneath the chart. We have, الساعة عباس هذه, يعني meaning, is this ساعة عباس, the watch of عباس, هذه is اسم إشارة for things which are, يعني مفرد, singular, مؤنث, feminine, and قريب, near. Okay, so it's referring to ساعة. ساعة, يعني is singular, it's feminine, and the use of هذه indicates that it's near. الساعة عباس هذه, is this the watch of Abbas. Sa'atu Abbasin is a construct phrase, idhafa. So sa'atu is the mudaf, and Abbasin is the mudafun ilayhi, and therefore it's majrur with kasra. The answer, is this the watch of Abbas, or is this Abbas's watch? La. Hadhihi sa'atu hamidin. Pause, comma. Tilka sa'atu Abbasin. Is this the watch of Abbas? La, no. This is the watch of Hamid. Hadhihi sa'atu Hamidin. This is the watch of Hamid. Tilka, that one pointing over there, tilka sa'atu Abbasin. That one over there is the watch of Abbas. So here we see contrasted the use of both, yani singular ism ishara, yani hadhihi and tilka. Both of them are singular and feminine. هذه for that which is near, tilka, for that which is far. The next line says, في هذا المثال حمزة الاستفهام. يعني in this example, أساءة عباس هذه this حمزة with فتح is known as حمزة الاستفهام. In this example, is حمزة الاستفهام. يعني the حمزة with فتح. الجواب ب نعم أو لا. The answer to which, yani a question that begins with حمزة الاستفهام, الجواب is, its answer is with the use of نعم أو لا. Its answer is going to be yes or no. So this type of question where you use حمزة الاستفهام, yani the answer is always going to be yes or no. So this is very important to know, that when you have a yes or no question, you use حمزة الاستفهام. Yani its answer has to be yes or no. Other types of questions could be yes or no, could be other than that. The last two lines also give some explanation or further discussion concerning يعني the إعراب of sentences using هذه and تلك. So they said here يعني هذه its إعراب is that it's اسم إشارة للمؤنث القريب غير العاقل. يعني in this case it's used to refer to ساعة. يعني in the answer to the question أساعة عباس هذه, لا هذه ساعة حامد. So we see in this sentence هذه ساعة حامد, هذه is اسم إشارة للمؤنث القريب غير عاقل. And ساعة is مضاف, يعني the first part of a construct phrase ساعة حامد is مضاف, and it's خب, and it is the يعني مضاف, and حامد ساعة حامد is مضاف إليه يعني مجرور. Says مضاف إليه, and the مضاف إليه is always مجرور. So in this particular sentence, هذه is اسم إشارة للقريب للمؤنث غير عاقل. And it is also in this sentence, هذه ساعة حامد is the مبتدأ. And ساعة حامد, ساعة is the خبر. In this case, it's connected to حامد in إضافة, so we say it's خبر, it's مضاف, and it's خبر. And يعني حامد is مضاف إليه مجرور. The next one we have, تلك. يعني تلك ساعة عباس. تلك ساعة عباس. يعني that's the second part of the answer. يعني هذه ساعة حامد and تلك ساعة عباس. So يعني تلك is اسم إشارة للمؤنث البعيد غير العاقل. So تلك is the ism ishara that's used for that which is feminine, and it is far. And in this case, for غير عاقل, because it's talking about ساعة. Okay, so تلك is the مبتدأ, and ساعة is the خبر, and ساعة is also مضاف to عباس, ساعة عباس. So we say that ساعة in this case is the خبر, and it's مضاف, and عباس is the مضاف إليه. مضاف إليه is always مجرور. Okay, so this is the end of yani the explanation of this particular lesson. What we need to go away with this in this lesson, we have to remember the difference between tilka and what we had in the previous lesson, hadihi. Both of them are ism ishara, both of them are mufrad singular, both of them muannath feminine, but hadihi is yani for that which is qareeb, near, and this word tilka is for that which is ba'id, far. And we also should remember this terminology for the ism ishara. It is called the ism ishara, the demonstrative pronoun, and it can be used for that which is mufrad, singular or dual or plural, in this case is singular. It can be used for masculine or feminine, in this case is feminine. It can be used for that which is near or far, in this case it's used for that which is ba'id, far. And the ism ishara can also be used for that which is aqil, as well as ghayr aqil, yani intelligent or non-intelligent being. And we should also remember from this lesson that Hamzatul Istifham, its answer is always going to be Na'am or La. Okay, as far as the I hope that the words in this lesson are clear. Everybody knows the words. If there was any okay, I don't normally look at the screen, but I'm looking at that. Asa'atu Abbasin hadihi mean the same as ahadihi sa'atu Abbasin. Means the same, Na'am. Means the same. Yani asa'atu Abbasin hadihi means the same as ahadihi sa'atu Abbasin. Yani because Hamzatul Istifham changes a statement to a question. So the original statement is hadihi sa'atu Abbasin. This is the watch of Abbas. If you put Hamzatul Istifham in front of it, it becomes ahadihi sa'atu Abbasin. So the same meaning is expressed in what we have here. Asa'atu Abbasin hadihi. Yani except that the order is reversed in terms of the mubtada and the khabar. But the meaning is the same. Wayakum. Alright, let's just look quickly at the English key. There's not much here on page 18 in the original Medina books. It says in this lesson, on page 18 it says in this lesson we learn tilka, which is feminine of thalika. Tilka is the feminine of thalika, just as we said before. Hadhihi is the feminine of hadha. Okay? That is, it means, yani thalika, tilka and thalika both mean that, or that is. Both of them mean that, or that is. The is understood. And then they give us two examples. Hadha Bilalun. This is Bilal. Wadhalika Hamidun. And that is Hamid. So what we are seeing here is that Bilal and Hamid are both masculine. So we're going to either use the Ism Ishara, yani for things which are masculine, near or far. So the first one, Hadha Bilalun, means this is Bilal, meaning that he's near. Wadhalika Hamidun means that is Bilal, meaning that he is far. Now they give us for the feminine, two is an ishara, near and far, hadhihi aminatu, wa tilka maryamu. This is amina, and that is maryam. And again, yani, hadhihi and tilka are both used for things which are singular, and things which are feminine. But hadhihi is used for that which is near, and tilka for that which is far. So we have hadhihi aminatu, meaning, this is amina, near, wa tilka maryamu, and that is maryam, far. Naam. And that's basically what is mentioned here, except for the vocabulary. Alright, so that is what we wanted to cover for lesson number 7. Now let's take a look at lesson number 8. In lesson number 8 on page 12, we see that this lesson number 8 deals with several things. The first thing that it deals with is الإشارة إلى المؤرف بألف لام. يعني الإشارة pointing to المؤرف, that which is, has been made معرفة, a word that has been made definite بألف لام, by the use of the definite article ألف لام. الإشارة pointing إلى to المؤرف, that which has been made معرفة, that which has been made definite B, by the use of alif lam, L, the definite article. So here we are saying what? We want to use the ism ishara to point to a word that is definite by the use of alif lam. That word has alif lam attached to it, making it definite. So how do we point to a word that has alif lam? And this is, yani, the use of the ism ishara with a word that's definite by the use of alif lam is a bedel construction. This is a special type of construction, like we had the idafa construction in lesson 5. This is the bedel construction. And there are different types of bedel construction. In this lesson we learn one of the simple types of bedel construction, that is an ism ishara immediately followed by a noun with alif lam. A noun that is made definite by alif lam. So whenever you have an ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam, whether the ism ishara is hadha, or hadhihi, or thalika, or tilka, or its duals, or its plurals, haulai, or ulaika, it doesn't matter, the ism ishara, when it's followed by a noun with alif lam, this is a bedel construction. Yani, bedel means one of these words can be substituted for the other. Meaning if you take out the ism ishara, and you just have the word with alif lam, it will make a complete sentence. If you take out the word with alif lam and just use the ism ishara, it will make a complete sentence. So either of them can substitute for the other. That's what we mean by bedel, substitute. Okay, so the word with the ism ishara is known as the bedel, and the word that it can substitute for is the mubdal minhu. What is important here is to know that when you see this ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam, you must know that this is the way you're going to use the ism ishara to point to a word that has alif lam. It's going to be a bedel construction. And one of the points that, we have to explain some of it, right? One of the points that we have to note from this bedel construction is that the bedel, the noun with alif lam, has to have the same i'rab. Has to have the same i'rab as the ism ishara that it is a substitute for. Alright, so if hada is the mubtada marfu'un, then the bedel ar-rajulu must also be marfu'un, and the sign that is marfu'un here we see is dhamma. Also we should note that hada is used here for aqil, although it can be used for ghayr aqil. Here it's used for aqil because what? Ar-rajulu is a noun that's aqil. Alright, so what is the meaning here now? If this word has alif lam after ism ishara, it means this man. You don't say this the man. Okay, because this is a bedel construction. So when you see the ism ishara followed by now alif lam, yani it means this man. Because you are using ism ishara to point to it, and ar-rajul means the man, but when you translate you say this man. Hada ar-rajulu tajirun. This man is a merchant. Hada ar-rajulu tajirun. If there was no alif lam, then hada would be the mubtada and rajulun would be the khabar. But in the bedel construction, yani ar-rajulu is just a substitute for hada. So all you have so far is the mubtada hada and its bedel substitute, and now you still need a khabar, yani a predicate to complete the sentence. So if somebody said to you hada ar-rajulu, this man, what about him? You need something else to complete the sentence. Tajirun is a merchant. This man is a merchant. Let's look at the next example with ذَلِكَ. ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ طَبِيبٌ. Again, ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ does not mean that the man. It means that man. طَبِيبٌ is a doctor, physician. The next sentence. هَذَا الْبَيْتُ لِلْتَاجِرِي. هَذَا الْبَيْتُ لِلْتَاجِرِي. Again, هَذَا الْبَيْتُ does not mean this, the house. It means this house. What about this house? لِلْتَاجِرِي belongs to or is for the merchant. In this case, we see that هَذَا is used for غَيْرُ عَاقِل because its بَدَل is الْبَيْتُ. So in the first two examples, we saw hadha and dhalika being used for aqil, ar-rajul. Now we see it being used for ghayru aqil, al-bayt. Hadha al-baytu lit-tajiri. This house is for or belongs to the merchant. The last example on this line, dhalika al-baytu lit-tabibi. That house is for or belongs to the doctor. Again, dhalika in this example, like hadha in the previous example, is pointing to the house, and house is غير عقل. So we know from this that هذا and ذلك can be used for عقل, رجل, can be used for غير عقل, بيت. The next two examples on the following line are mistakes, خطأ. هذا الرجل التاجر. This is a خطأ. هذا الرجل التاجر. This man, the merchant. It should be the خبر without alif lam. هذا الرجل تاجر with تنوين instead of alif lam. This man is a merchant. The next example, ذلك الرجل الطبيب. الطبيب. Also, this is a mistake in two ways. يعني ذلك الرجل, that man is a doctor, يعني should be without alif lam. That man is a doctor, should be طبيب without alif lam. The second mistake is that, yani, a single noun cannot have both alif lam and tanween. Cannot have both alif lam and tanween. either one or the other. In this case, it should be tanween. If you want to make a complete sentence, that man is a doctor. Yani, a doctor is tabibun. Again, to summarize, yani, the ism ishara, or al-isharatu ila al-mu'arrifi bi-alif lam, pointing to the noun that is mu'arraf, yani made ma'arifa, made to be definite by the use of alif lam. When a noun that has been made definite by alif lam is pointed to by an ism ishara, whether it's hadha or hadhihi or thalika or tilka, in any case, yani, this is what is known as a bedel construction. So the ism ishara is going to be the mubtada, and the word with alif lam is going to be its bedel. It's not going to be the khabar. It's going to be its bedel. Now you still need a khabar, so you're going to have another noun following it as the khabar. Alright? And the other point that I want to make here is that the bedel, the noun with alif lam following ism ishara, has to have the same i'rab of the ism ishara. Marfoon or mansubun or majrurun, like the word that it is a substitute for. Okay, the next point that they mention is the combination of the preposition li with the ism istifham men. Li men. This combination together means for who, or whose is this, for example. Li men. They said, li men is su'alun an al-aqil. Is when you are asking a question, limen, to whom does this belong? Limen is a su'al an al-aqili, that you're asking about a rational being, an intelligent being. How do we know? Because men is only used for aqil, whereas ma is used for ghayru aqil. So if you say limen, it has to be a question, su'alun an al-aqili, yani concerning a rational, intelligent being. So here they give us in a sentence, liman hadha al-bayt, liman, to whom belongs this house. Notice that al-bayt is ghayru aqil, but the question here is, to whom belongs the house? So liman, men, is for who is the owner of the house. So even though al-bayt is ghayru aqil, but the one who owns it is an aqil, yani is a person. Who is the person who owns this house? Limen, yani, li is for whom, to whom does it belong, and men is who. Yani, li is showing possession, and men is who. The question is, who is the one who possessed this? Who does this belong to? Whose house is this? Limen, hadal baytu, to whom belongs this house? And again, hadal baytu is the bedel construction that we just pointed to. Ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam, so it means hadha al-baytu means this house, not this, the house. The answer, hadha al-baytu, this house, lit-tajiri, belongs to the merchant. This house belongs to the merchant. Okay, after this, the next line, another example. This time, instead of hadha, we have dhalika. Liman dhalika al-baytu, to whom belongs that house. Yani, the question is about who is the owner. Okay? So this is a question that's used to ask about an aqil. Yani, who is the owner? Not what is the owner. Yani, ma, but who is the owner? Men. Liman dhalika al-baytu, to whom belongs that house. Again, dhalika al-baytu does not mean that the house. It means that house. This is a bedel construction. Dhalika is the mubdal minhu, and al-baytu is the bedel, the substitute. Either of them can be replaced by the other. You can use either of them alone by itself. ذَلِكَ الْبَيْتُ لِلْطَبِيبِ, that house, li, belongs to الطَبِيب, the doctor. Here let us note also that when a word begins with alif lam and you use the preposition li, meaning for, or for whom, or to whom it belongs, yani when a noun has alif lam, the definite article, and you prefix to it the preposition li, it loses the alif, the hamzatul wasl of alif lam. It loses that. So li at-tabibi becomes lit-tabibi without the alif of alif lam, without the hamzatul wasl. Okay, so again here what we're going to say is, men is used to ask a question about aqil. Li men, To whom? Who is the person to whom this belongs? Liman hadha al-bayti. To whom belongs this house? Liman dhalika al-bayti. To whom? Liman dhalika al-baytu. To whom belongs that house? Dhalika al-baytu lit-tabibi. Or hadha al-baytu lit-tajiri. That house belongs to the doctor, or this house belongs to the merchant. The next point is what is called a dharf. Yani, plural, dhuruf. Yani, a dharf is in English an adverb. And there are two types of dharf. Yani, dharf al-makan, adverb of place, and dharf al-zaman, adverb of time. Al-makan, place, al-zaman, time. These two are, yani, dhuruf al-makan, adverbs of place, because they show the place where something is, in front of, behind, above, below, to the right, to the left. These are, yani, adverbs of place. Dharf al-makan. Adverb of place and adverb of time both come under the title of maf'ulun fihi. Maf'ulun fihi. Yani, maf'ulun fihi means the maf'ul which indicates the place or the time where something is happening. The place or time. So, dharf al-makan is the place where it's at. And dharf al-zaman is the time when it happens. So, right now we're looking at dharf al-makan. Maf'ulun fihi. So, the original ruling of the dharf is that it's mansub. And the sign that it's mansub is fatha. But there are some adverbs that are mabniyun. Mabniyun, yani, on dhamma, or kasra, or other than that, or sukoon. Okay, it can be mabniyun, fixed, its ending fixed, on other than fatha. Sometimes they can be mabniyun, but the original rule of the adverb, the dharf al-makan and dharf al-zaman, is that it's mansoob, and the sign that it's mansoob is fatha. Right now we're looking at dharf al-makan, the adverb of place, and it indicates the position of something. Here we have amama in front of, and khalfa behind. Amama and khalfa. Both of them you see end with fatha because they are what? Mansoob. Yani the adverb of time and place is mansoob with fatha, unless it's mabniyun. They show the position of something. Also from the rules concerning the adverb of place is that the noun following it is going to be an idhafa. The noun following the adverb of place is going to be in idhafa. It's going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur in the genitive case. Okay? So whenever you see amama or khalfa or fawqa or tahta, know that the noun following it is going to be the mudhaf ilayhi. It's always going to be connected to it in idhafa, so the noun following is going to be majrur. Okay, let's look at the examples that they gave us here. As-sabburatu amama at-tullabi. As-sabburatu amama tullabi. The writing board is amama, in front of at-tullabi, the students. At-tullab is the plural of what? Talib. At-talib. The writing board is in front of at-tullab. Notice that at-tullab here, being the noun following the dharf, is going to be mudawfun ilayhi majroor. At-tullabi. Next example. As-sabburatu khalfa al-mudarrisi. The writing board is behind the teacher. Khalfa al-mudarrisi. Notice that the noun following khalfa is mudawfun ilayhi majroor. The sign that is majroor is kasra. Now we have a question and answer. Yani with the use of aina, which is a noun that is used to ask a question about place. Su'al an al-makan. To ask about the place, where is something. Aina sayyaratul imami. Aina sayyaratul imami. Where is the car of the imam? Notice that sayyaratul imami is an idhafa construction. The car of the imam, or the imam's car. And the mudhaf ilayhi, al-imam, is always majroor with kasra. The mudaf, we said it can have any i'rab. It can be marfu'un, mansub, or majroor. In this case, it's marfu'un. Because it is the mubtada, marfu'un. Aina sayyaratu al-imami. Answer, here, amama al-madrasati. Yani here is the pronoun referring back to as-sayara. As-sayaratu, the answer could be, instead of a pronoun, ayna as-sayaratu al-imami, sayaratu al-imami amama al-madrasati. But instead of using all of that, sayaratu al-imami, we're just going to refer to that sayara that belongs to the imam by the pronoun here. Sayara is feminine singular, so we use the feminine singular pronoun. Sayaratul imami. Where's the car of the imam? Here. Here meaning what? Sayara. Sayaratul imami. Here. Amama al-madrasati. It is in front of the school. Here we want to note again that amama is an adverb of place. Zarf al-makan. And the noun following the adverb of place is always going to be mudafun ilayhi majroor. So we say al-madrasa ti is mudafun ilayhi majroor. The sign that it's majroor is kasra. Next example they gave us. Next line. Aina jalasa hamidun. Where did Hamid sit? Yani jalasa is the fi'l madhi and hamidun is the fa'il, the doer of the action of sitting. And the fa'il, the doer of the action, the subject of a verb, is always marfu'un. So we see Hamidun being marfu'un with dhamma. Aina jalasa Hamidun? Where did Hamid sit? Jalasa khalfa Mahmudin. He sat behind Mahmud. Yani here, the verb jalasa includes within it the hidden pronoun, dhamir mustatiya, what is intended by it is huwa. And huwa, the hidden pronoun in jalasa is referring back to Hamidun. Aina jalasa Hamidun? Jalasa Hamidun khalfa Mahmudin. Or just jalasa. You don't have to say Hamidun again, because we know that jalasa includes the hidden pronoun huwa, which refers back to Hamidun. So where did Hamid sit? We can answer, Hamid sat behind Mahmud. Or we can just say, he sat behind Mahmud. So we said, jalasa khalfa Mahmudin. And again, Mahmudin, as is indicated in the words underneath, khalfa Mahmudin, yani khalfa is mudaf and Mahmudin is mudafun ilayhi. And this is always going to be the case, that the word following khalfa and the word following amama and the word following any dharf al-makan, fawqa or tahta or yamina or shimara, whatever, any yani adverb of place, the noun following it is going to be mudafun ilayhi majroor. So after this it says, Aina jalasa Hamidun? Jalasa khalfa Mahmudun. A substitute answer could be, jalasa amama at-tullabi. Yani he sat behind Mahmud, or we can say, jalasa, he sat amama at-tullabi. He sat in front of the students. And again, the same rule is applicable here. The word following amama is mudafun ilayhi majroor. So amama is the mudafun, the first part of the idafa construction, and at-tullabi is the mudafun ilayhi, the second part of the idafa construction, which is always in the genitive case, majroor. Okay, now we have the qa'ida. Now we have a qa'ida here that I mentioned earlier at the beginning of this lesson number 8. Qa'ida. هذا البيت للتاجري. Remember, I said that when the noun that has alif lam has prefix to it, li, it loses alif lam. Okay, so let's look at that. هذا البيت للتاجري. This house belongs to the merchant. للتاجري, يعني the lam in li is حرف جرن. جرن, the ra has شد. جرن. Harfu jarrin. Yani, harfu jar is a particle of jar, yani meaning a preposition. Littajiri, in this word littajiri, the lam is harf jar. Then they show us, littabibi, lilmudarrisi, li Muhammadin. Yani the same rule, when the lam is attached, yani it makes the word following it majroor with kasra, and also if it has alif lam, it loses its alif. Yani lit tajiri is originally li at tajiri. Yani al tajiri, at tajiri. And likewise, Litfabibi is originally Li Elfabibi or Elfabibi. We say Elfabibi is really pronounced Elfabibi because it's a sun letter, right? So it's originally Li Elfabibi, but it loses its alif, its hamzatul wasl, so it became Litfabibi. And the same thing, Al-Mudarris, yani Li Al-Mudarris became Lil-Mudarris. Here, the last example they gave us, Li Muhammadin, doesn't have alif lam, but it still became Majroor. There's no alif to be omitted from the alif lam because it doesn't have alif lam. But because it doesn't have alif lam, it has tanween. So we see that all of these words, after the harf jar, all of them became majroor with kasra. If it had alif lam originally, it takes a single kasra. If it does not have alif lam originally, it takes a double kasra tanween. Now we want to look at the i'rab of what we saw in some of these examples. Okay? So they gave us the i'rab of hadha. الرجل تاجر هذا الرجل تاجر. This man is a merchant. هذا is the مبتدأ. مبتدأ يعني the subject of the sentence that you begin with from بدأ or ابتدأ means to begin, to initiate something. So هذا is the beginning. In English grammar it's called the subject. And الرجل is بدل is a substitute for هذا. Substitute for the مبتدأ. It's not the خبر. Now, after that, we have the khabar, tajirun, yani the predicate, subject and predicate. Hadha is the subject, mubtada'un, and tajirun is the predicate, khabar. Now, what we want to say here is, we want to go back to the rule that we said about the, yani, the use of the ism ishara with a noun that has alif lam. We said this is a bedel construction. This bedel, it can replace hadha or hadha can be used without it. So in this sentence we have hadha ar-rajulu tajirun. Hadha is the mubtada and tajirun is the khabar. That's a complete sentence. So if you took out the badal and you just said hadha tajirun, that's a complete sentence. Mubtada and khabar. That's what a nominal sentence requires, a mubtada and a khabar. Everything else is extra. So this shows you that the substitute can be removed and the sentence will still be complete. And likewise, the mubdal minhu, the original word that was there, it can also be removed and the substitute can stand alone without it. So if you took out hadha and you just said ar-rajulu tajirun, it would still be a complete sentence. In this case, ar-rajulu would become the mubtada without hadha there. Ar-rajulu becomes the mubtada, marfu'un with dhamma, and tajirun is the khabar, marfu'un also with dhamma. So this is how the bedel works. You can take out the ism ishara or you can take out its bedel and the sentence would still be complete. When they are both together, then you have mubtada and bedel and you need a khabar. When they are used individually, either of them can be the mubtada followed by a khabar. Let's look at the next example. ذَلِكَ الْبَيْتُ لِلْطَبِيبِ ذَلِكَ الْبَيْتُ لِلْطَبِيبِ. So in this sentence, that house belongs to the doctor. That house belongs to the doctor. Thalika is the mubtada'un, the subject. Al-baytu is the badalun, the substitute. And littajiri is the khabar, the predicate. Again, if you took out the badal, bayt, al-baytu, the sentence, mubtada and khabar will be complete. Mubtada'un, thalika, khabarun littabibi, thalika littabibi. That belongs to the doctor. That's a complete sentence. If you took out the ism ishara, and just use the bedel, now the bedel will become the mubtada, subject, al-baytu lit-tabibi. The house belongs to the doctor. That's also a complete sentence. Here, they want to make us to know the terminology of the two words that we had above, amama and khalfa. They said amama is, and khalfa, both of them, are dharfu makanin. Dharfu makanin, adverb of place. They are what is known as an adverb of place. Dharfu makanin. And dharfu makan, along with dharfu zaman, come under the title of maf'ulun fihi. Yani, the maf'ul that's related to the place or the time when, yani, when something is referred to. In a certain place, in front of or behind, on a certain time, yesterday or today and so on. Both of them come under the general title of maf'ulun fihi, but here we're just dealing with one type of maf'ulun fihi, that is the adverb of place. known here as ظرف مكان. Both أمام and خلف are ظرف مكان, as well as فوق, above, is ظرف مكان. تحت, underneath or below, is ظرف المكان. The last thing that we want to mention here, or the last two things, حرف الجر. The harf, the particle of jar, that means the preposition, a preposition. Harfu jar, yani a particle that makes the noun following it be in the genitive case, majroor. Harfu al jarri. Min. Here they give us four harf jar that we had in lesson four and the one that we had in this lesson, yani li. Harfu al jarri. These are particles of jar, prepositions. Min. Tufidu al-bidayata. Tufidu al-bidayata. Yani tufidu means what it, the benefit that we get from it. What does it indicate? Yani min indicates al-bidaya, where it begins. From here, this is where we're starting at, ila to there, where we're ending at, okay? The destination, the end of where we are going, okay? So min tufidu al-bidaya. The benefit that we get from it is that it means this is where you're starting from. Yani if a person said, I went from America to Mecca, so min tufidu al-bidaya, that means where you started from, al-bidaya. And ila to Mecca, yani ila tufidu al-nihayata. Yani it benefits us by telling us where we ended up at. We started from here and we ended up there. So min is a particle of jar preposition, which tells us that this is the bidaya, where we're starting from, and ila is a particle preposition that tells us where we end up at. Fi tufidu al-zarfiyyata, and it tells us about yani the place of something, where it is at. Al-zarfiyya, yani zarf al-makan. Wa ala tufidu al-isti'la'a. Al-isti'la, yani from ala, to be high, to be above. So ala tufidu al-isti'la'a. It tells us that something is above something, it's high. So you say, ala al-maktab, above, or on, or upon, yani something. Naam, and the last one, al-lamu tufidu al-milk. Tufidu al-milka. Yani al-milk means possession or ownership. So these five prepositions that we have had so far, four of them in lesson four and this one in lesson eight, each one of them gives us a certain benefit, what it indicates. It gives us a certain benefit, yani what it indicates. So again, min tufidu al-bidaya, the beginning, where you're starting. Ila tufidu al-nihaya, the ending, where you end. Fi tufidu al-zarfiyya, place, where it is at. وَعَلَى تُفِيدُ الْإِسْتِعْلَاءَ, being above, being high, above or upon something. اللَّامُ تُفِيدُ الْمِلْكَ, yani lam tells us, benefits us with what? It shows milk, yani possession or ownership. Okay, this is the end of what is in the shart. Let's look at the English key from the original Medina books, yani on page 19 and 20. On page 19, we see lesson 8. In this lesson, we learn the following. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to summarize it a little bit. Maybe the first one I'll read because of its importance. Okay, and in the sharh, yani in Arabic, it gave us a little bit of explanation, but it didn't give us a lot of explanation. So let's look here. Point number one says how we say this book. How do we say? Yani if you wanted to say this is a book, you know it's hadha kitabun. But how do you say this book? Yani this book, then you say this the book. Yani this book in Arabic, it's as though you're saying this the book. Yani hadha with the alif lam, yani the that makes something yani definite. How to say this book in Arabic? We have seen that hadha kitabun with tanween means this is a book. Now we learn that hadha al kitabu with alif lam instead of tanween means this book. Not this is the book, but this book. This is not a sentence. And it's only a mubtada with its bedel. To make a sentence, we must add a predicate, a khabar. For example, this book, what about it? Is new. هذا الكتاب جديد. هذا الكتاب, for example, كبير. is big. هذا الكتاب يعني بعيد, it is far away, and so on. Alright? All demonstrative pronouns, meaning هذا, هذه, ذلك, تلك, هؤلاء, أولئك, all demonstrative pronouns can be used, all اسم إشارة can be used to make this construction. And it's called the بدل construction, or اسم الإشارة الذي له بدل. The اسم إشارة that has a بدل. يعني اسم إشارة that's followed by a noun with ألف لام. And then they gave us some examples. ذلك الرجل مهندس. That man is an engineer. هذه الساعة جميلة. This watch is beautiful. تلك الممرضة من اليابان. That female nurse is from Japan. Okay, so that's what we want to say about the اسم إشارة, as is mentioned in our lesson. الإشارة إلى المؤرف بألف لام. And he pointing to a noun that became definite by attaching to it alif lam. It is also known as ismu al-ishara, the ism ishara, alladhi lahu, which has badalun, a substitute. Ism ishara, alladhi lahu badalun, the ism ishara that has a substitute. Yani it's an ism ishara that's followed by a noun with alif lam. And there are also other types of badal constructions, but this is the first one that we have had until now. Okay, the next point in this lesson, they said that we didn't mention in our sharh, so this is very important to make a note, that in lesson 8 we also had i'rab of the maqsoor, the ism maqsoor. What do we mean by the ism maqsoor? We mean a noun that ends with alif, alif maqsoora, or even alif mamduda. Nouns that end with alif, they are known as ism maqsoor. And the i'rab of the ism maqsoor is that, yani it can be marfoon, it can be mansoob, it can be majroor, but we don't see the sign of its i'rab. Because alif, alif mamduda or alif maksura, both of them, yani they are not consonants. They are letters of the alphabet, they are not consonants. They do not take a vowel. So we're not going to see a dhamma or a kasra or a fatah. We're not going to see any change in its ending. Its ending is going to remain the same. It's going to remain on one ending. This is different than a word that's mabniyun, fixed on sukoon or kasra or dhamma. Yani, those mabniyun words, they have a vowel, they have a fatah, they have a kasra, they have a dhamma, but it doesn't change from that vowel, but they do have a vowel. These words don't have any vowel. They end with alif. And alif is not a consonant. It doesn't take a vowel of its own. Therefore, we don't see any vowel. So that word can be majroor, but we're not going to see a kasra. It can be mansoob, we're not going to see a fatah. It can be marfoon, but we're not going to see a dhamma. So this is a very important point. It's not mentioned in the sharh. So definitely you want to take a look at this in the English key. We have seen that the normal ending of noun is dhamma. And it changes to kasra after prepositions. And when it is, when the noun is a possessor. Yani, so, when it's in an idafa construction, the second part of the idafa construction, the noun changes to kasra. Or when it is following a preposition, it also changes to kasra. So these are two cases in which we see the noun changing. It can also change to fatah if it's the object of a verb, the mafulun bi, and so on. So they're telling us that this is what normally happens, that the normal ending of a noun is dhamma, but it can change to kasra, it can also change to fatah, and they gave us some examples. Now they're saying, nouns ending in long A, yani meaning fatah alif, that alif is not going to have a vowel of its own. It's elongating the fatah. But it doesn't have a vowel of its own. It's just the elongation of fatah. It doesn't take a vowel. So this type of word that ends with fatah alif, whether it's alif mamduda written straight up and down like a one, or alif maksura that's written like a ya at the end of a word without its dots, either one of them, they're both alif, words ending with this ending, they remain unchanged. They are not mabniyun, meaning that the vowel remains dhamma all the time, or kasra all the time, or fatah all the time. They have no vowel at all. So, they remain unchanged. We don't see any vowel changing for the i'rab. The i'rab of it is that it's marfoon, or mansubun, or majroor, but we don't see the change of any vowel. This is called al-ism al-maqsoor. Yani the noun that ends with alif. It remains in one condition, no matter if it's marfoon, or mansub, or majroor. It remains in one condition. Yani that alif remains without a vowel. But we do say, we don't say like mabniyun, is in the place where it should be majrur. We say this word is majrur, or it's marfoon, or it's mansuban, where we just don't see the vowel change. And then they gave us examples. For example, hadhi amrika. This is America. In this case, hadhi is the mubtada. I'm explaining. In this case, hadhi is the mubtada, and amrika is the khabar. And the khabar is always marfoon, but we don't see any dhamma on amrika. The next example, ana min amrika. I am from America. Here, yani ana is the mubtada, and the shibh jumla min amrika is the khabar. Min is a preposition. Amrika is the object of the preposition. So it's majrur, but we don't see any kasra. The third example, huwa ra'isu amrika. He is the president of America. Huwa is the mubtada, ra'isu is the khabar, amrika is the mudafun ilayhi. The mudaf ilayhi is always majrur, but we don't see any kasra. So we see from this that words ending with alif. Here they gave us alif mamduda only, the alif that looks like a number one written straight up. But even if it had alif maksura, like Mustafa, or Musa, or Isa, all of them are written with alif maksura, their ending doesn't change no matter if they are marfoon or mansub or majroor. We don't see any vowel changing. Likewise, the word al-mustashfa, that is the hospital, it ends with alif maksura. So examples of alif mamduda are given here. We also can see that in the examples of alif maksura, yani Mustafa, al-mustashfa, Musa, and Isa, yani all words that end with alif, yani they are not mabniun, they are mu'rab, they do change from being marfoon to mansub and majrur, but we don't see a vowel change. This is called ism maksur. So this is something, if you're not familiar with it, please go back and review it. The next point that they mention here is khalfa and amama. Yani that these are, yani they just mentioned that this means behind and in front of, and that the noun following them takes kasra. The reason for that is because these are dharf, adverbs, dharf al-makan, adverb of place, and the word following them are always going to be mudafun ilayhi, majwur. That's why the noun following them takes kasra. The last point they mentioned is the verb jalasa, means he sat. They didn't have any discussion concerning this, but this is a past tense verb, and it means that an action has taken place, as opposed to a noun like jalisun that comes from jalasa. It means that he is sitting, yani in the process of still sitting right now. It's an ongoing action. So the past tense verb means it has completed its action, whereas the noun that comes from it, jalisun, means that it's ongoing action. So we just want to note the difference between the past tense verb and a noun that comes from it. Okay, that's what we wanted to mention. That's the end of what the English key contains. And now we want to look at yani our supplementary activities. Last week, I actually was on the old time thinking that we were ending at 2 o'clock, so we stopped a little bit earlier than we should have. Today, inshallah, we're going to go to our full time, yani the class today, and from the weeks following, it should be from 12:45, 15 minutes later than we were starting in the past, and we're going to actually end 15 minutes later, yani, than we were ending in the past. Previously, we were ending at 2 o'clock, now we're going to end at 2:15. So we still have 15 minutes remaining. Let's look at some activities, extra activities, supplementary activities like vocabulary review quiz. I'm sure, or at least I hope anyway, I shouldn't say that I'm sure, but I hope that everybody is looking forward to these yani supplementary activities where we look at yani some other activities than what came yani that are related to the lesson. So the first supplementary activity that we want to look at is the vocabulary review quiz, yani from the Medina Book 1 English keys. Yani some of the vocabulary that we should have yani learned by this point, by the time we got to lesson 7 and 8, some of the vocabulary that we were given in the original Medina books, if we studied those books, we should know these vocabulary words. If we studied from some other course, some of these words we should know, and maybe some of them we will not know. But let's just take a quick yani review quiz. So how do we do the review quiz? Vocabulary review quiz is that we listen to the words being read without looking at the book. Yani preferably without looking at the book, because I don't want you to look at the English key and get the meanings, right? I want you to listen and then translate. You don't have to write it, just orally translate, okay? So I'm going to read the word, and you're going to listen to the word. I'll repeat the word, and then I'll give the meaning. So you can just orally translate, and then you can, yani, check if you got it right. You don't have to write it down, but you can just give it a point for yourself for each word that you get right, or put an X every time you get one wrong, so you see how many you got wrong. If you got most of the words wrong, alhamdulillah, this is good. If you got all of them wrong, mashallah, this is mumtaz. If you didn't know most of these words, then you need to go back to the original Medina book and learn, yani start looking at the vocabulary words, trying to learn as many of them as possible. Okay, again, the book should be closed. You don't have to write anything if you don't want. You can just listen and orally translate, and then I'll give you the meaning immediately after. Okay, the first word I'm going to give you is an-naqatu. Again, an-naqatu. It means the she-camel. The next word, al-baqfatu, with fa and shadda. Al-baqfatu means the duck. The next word, al-mumarridatu. Again, al-mumarridatu means a female nurse. And a male nurse is without ta marbuta. Al-mumarridu. Al-mumarridu is a male nurse. Al-mumarridatu, female nurse. The next word, al-baydatu. Again, al-baydatu, meaning the egg. The next word, al-mu'adhinu. Al-mu'adhinu, meaning the mu'adhin, yani the one who announces the beginning of the time for prayer, the caller to prayer. The next word, ad-dajjajatu. Ad-dajjajatu, with shadda on the del because it's a sun letter. Ad-dajjajatu, meaning the hen or the chicken. I'm going to add two words to the vocabulary here that's not written in the book. Al-habiqatu. Al-habiqatu. I think we saw this word today, meaning the park or the garden. And al-haqibatu. Al-haqibatu means a bag or a briefcase. Just a couple more words and then we'll go to the next exercise. From lesson 8 we had the word Amrika. Everybody should know this word. It ends with alif mamduda. The alif that's written straight up like a number 1. Amrika. Everybody knows that means America. The next word, Almania. Almania. This word also ends with alif mamduda, the straight up alif that looks like a number 1. Almania. Almania. This means the country Germany. The next word, Inkaltarra. Inkaltarra, with shadda on the ra, fatha alif, ending with alif mamduda also. Inkaltarra means the country England. Another word, al-iraqu. Al-iraqu. Yani this word we may or may not know, it's a country, right, in the Arab lands. Al-iraqu, yani Iraq. And it sounds something like the English way they pronounce it. The next word, Suwaisara, also ending with alif mamduda. Suwaisara. And in this word, is sometimes written, yani the last scene with a sukoon, sometimes with a fatha, sometimes with a kasra. Suwaisara, yani the country Switzerland. And I'm going to add one more country, As-Suwidu, which is similar in its sound. As-Suwidu, which is Sweden. Yani, Suwaisara is Switzerland. As-Suwidu is Sweden. The last two words, Al-Mustashfa, ending with Alif, Maqsura. The Alif that is written like the Ya at the end of a word without its two dots. Al-Mustashfa means the hospital, and is As-Sikkinu, As-Sikkinu, with shadda on the sin and shadda on the calf. As-Sikkinu means the knife, means the knife. Okay, so these are some of the words that we would have had up until now in the original Medina books. So hopefully, yani, we are familiar with these words, at least most of them, and we remember them when we hear them. Okay, so this exercise is to, yani, remind us of where we are in terms of our vocabulary. Yani, how we are doing in terms of vocabulary. Do we know yani most of the vocabulary or not, it's also yani an exercise in training our ear. The next exercise that we want to do is a listening exercise specifically, yani a listening exercise. Okay, this is not a vocabulary exercise per se, but it's a listening exercise. We're going to hear words or sentences, and what I want you to do is just listen and translate them. Listen and translate. Okay, it's not individual words. These are going to be sentences. Okay, and probably I'll read some of the examples from the sharh here. Okay, I'll read some of the examples from the sharh of lesson number 7 and the sharh of lesson number 8. And what I want you to do, without looking at the book, I just want you to listen and translate orally in your mind, without looking at the book and without writing. Alright? Okay, so the first example I'm going to give you. Asa'atu Abbasin hadhihi. Again. Asa'atu Abbasin hadhihi. Meaning? Is this the watch of Abbas? La. هذه ساعة حامد وتلك ساعة عباس. Again, is this the watch of Abbas? لا هذه ساعة حامد تلك ساعة عباس. Is this the watch of Abbas? No, this is the watch of Hamid, and that is the watch of Abbas. Alright. Another example, yani, for listening exercise from the sharh. Again, without looking at the book, and no need to write. If you don't want to, you can just listen. If you don't want to, you can just listen. Okay, so the first example we're gonna give is لمن ذلك البيت؟ ذلك البيت للطبيب. Again, listen and translate orally. لمن ذلك البيت؟ ذلك البيت للطبيب. The meaning, لمن ذلك البيت؟ To whom belongs that house? ذلك البيت للطبيب. That house belongs to the doctor. Another sentence from yani the examples in the sharh. أين جلس حامد؟ جلس خلف محمود. Or جلس أمام الطلاب. Okay, listen without looking at the book and without writing, just translate orally. Again, أين جلس حامد؟ أين جلس حامد؟ Where did Hamid sit? جلس خلف محمود. جلس خلف محمود. He sat behind محمود. He sat behind Mahmud. Or, Jalasa amama tullabi. Or, what? Jalasa amama tullabi. He sat in front of the students. Next sentence. As-saburatu amama tullabi. As-saburatu amama tullabi. The writing board is in front of the students. As-saburatu khalf al-mudarrisi. As-saburatu khalf al-mudarrisi. The writing board is behind the teacher. Last one. Aina sayyaratu al-imami. Again, أين سيارة الإمام؟ Where is the car of the Imam or the Imam's car? هي أمام المدرسة. هي أمام المدرسة. It is in front of the school. It is in front of the school. Okay. We still have just a couple of moments remaining. So we're going to use it for our final exercise, which hopefully is going to become a beloved exercise. Yani, the exercise of Imla. In the instructions or the suggestions that I sent out in the beginning from the first lesson, how each lesson should be studied, I said we should read the lesson, and in an audible voice to someone, or if alone, just read it out loud, if you cannot find a study partner. Write the entire lesson in your separate exercise notebook, and then listen to someone else reading the book, while you follow by looking at the textbook. Read, write, listen. And then the next round is to read the lesson again, but this time from your own handwriting, and from what you copied, what you wrote out in your exercise notebook, and then to listen and write at the same time. Listen and write what you hear. Yani, write what you hear without looking at the book while you listen to someone else read it to you, and this is what is known as Imla, and this is what you're going to do right now. I want you to just listen and write what you hear. Listen and write what you hear. This is called Imla or dictation. Listen without looking, but write. This is a writing skill, and it's also a listening skill drill. Okay? So I'm going to write with you as I read the sentences to you. And hopefully, inshallah, everybody should, yani, have some place to, something to write upon, so that you can, yani, practice Imla. Okay, the first sentence. هذا الرجل تاجر. Again, هذا الرجل تاجر. هذا الرجل تاجر. The next sentence. ذلك الرجل طبيب. Again, ذلك الرجل طبيب. ذلك الرجل طبيب. The next sentence. Again, we're not looking at a book. We're just listening and writing what we hear as best we can. Okay? The next sentence. هذا البيت للتاجر. Again. هذا البيت للتاجر. هذا البيت للتاجر. The next one. ذلك البيت للطبيب. Again. ذلك البيت للطبيب. Again. ذلك البيت للطبيب. Last week I think we had 5 sentences, so let's just make one more sentence to make it complete. 5 sentences for Imla. السبورة أمام الطلاب. Again. السبورة أمام الطلاب. السبورة أمام الطلاب. Alright, so whatever you wrote, just take a look back at it right now. I'm going to read these 5 sentences. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to read them from what I wrote. Okay, the first one. Let's see if you have it like this. هذا الرجل تاجر. Yeah, if you missed a word or something, you can fix it now. Number 2. ذلك الرجل طبيب. Number 3. هذا Al-baytu lit-tajiri. Number 4. ذَلِكَ الْبَيْتُ لِلْطَبِيبِ Number 5. السَّبُّورَةُ أَمَامَ الطُّلَّابِ By the way, the word السَّبُورَةُ ends with ta marbuta. السَّبُورَةُ, the ta is ta marbuta. Okay, we're at the end of our time now. We're going to stop here. And I'm going to just ask everyone to please be diligent. Please be diligent in studying these lessons, reviewing what we covered already, memorizing vocabulary, especially the technical terminology that's used to explain things. Try to memorize those words as best you can. Try to preview the following lesson before we take a lesson each week. Try to read through it. Try to write it out, as we mentioned in the homework assignments, so that when you come to class, you're already familiar with the lesson. And you should have memorized some of the words, and then you should have underlined the words you didn't know, so that when we go through the lesson, you can write in their meanings. All right? Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khair. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each of us, to exert ourselves in doing that which is pleasing to Him, and that He make our intentions sincere for His sake alone, and that He guide us, to the correct manner of worshipping Him, in accordance with the sunnah, the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that He pardon and overlook our shortcomings in our attempts to worship Him, and that He multiply our good deeds, that He elevate our station in this world and the next, and that He keep us firm until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. Ameen ya rabbal alameen.